Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 10th of April, recording at 9:43 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. And it's, in terms of stock markets, it's very much one of the global correction that I've been talking about, gathering a bit of pace. But first, in Asia, more stock markets were down than up, but China was the exception. Quite a decent gain there, and most of them, as I say, were weaker. And that was the China A shares that I mentioned to the upside. I think Kuala Lumpur was also higher, and India slightly. In Europe, though, we had some significant declines here, and the Italian market leading today. Down almost 5%, but you know, the DAX 2.5, the CAC, French CAC, over 3%. The Americas were clipped. Brazil down 1.88%. The S&P 1.71. The Nasdaq 1.83%. In Europe, incidentally, the FTSE was down 2.25%. Long-dated government bond prices were firmer, pretty well across the boards. The U.S. dollar is a little bit steadier in here, edging up against most of the Asian currencies, edging up on the U.S. dollar index, although it's still under 80. The Aussie slipped back to 102.5. The dollar's been, I mean, here's this, the yen strengthened a lot here. The dollar's been weak against the euro, the yen. So a lot of reversal of positions taking place there. And the we've currently got showing 80.66 on the dollar-yen rate. Euro quiet at 130.80. Sterling also quiet, 158. Excuse me, 158.68. And interesting action in commodities. First in precious metals, they really have seesawed here today, but ended generally on the better side of the day's trading. Gold is currently at 16.59 and 30 cents, still trading after hours. It's been $4 higher, but it's also been as low as 16.32 on the day. And silver also swinging around, but currently at 31.75. Platinum's lower, but well off the lows, and currently trading just above 1600. Some big draw in here in the energy sector. Crude is below 101 WTI. That's down 1.5. And the Brent, a bigger decline here today, breaking down from a trading range. And that is under 120 for the first time in a number of weeks. And grains and beans lower here today, as were most of the industrial metals. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the global stock market correction really has gathered pace here, and I'll put up a few indices, but you can see most of them have rolled over. Very few are bucking that trend, and those that still are, the rallies have stalled, so they're just sort of holding up near the highs and are likely to get sucked down in a corrective phase. What's interesting is that the risk that people are refocusing on. It swung right back to Europe in a big way. And Spanish bonds, the Spanish 10-year bond yields pushed up above 6% today. I showed a chart of those, I think, last Wednesday, and they've continued to surge higher in here, and that will pose problems for the ECB, because of course a lot of the banks own these banks. I don't doubt that the ECB will print some money and buy some of those Spanish bonds to walk those yields back down. They may let the Spanish government sweat for a bit first, because their comments have not helped, as I've said before. But after a relief spell over the vast tranches of money that the ECB made available to the European banks, people are, of course, focusing on the fact that, well, the problem hasn't been solved at all. It's just been, well, I hate to use the term, but it's right. It's just been kicked a bit further down the road. I hate to use the term because it's used so often. And so this remains a concern. And articles talking about an eventual breakup of the euro are becoming more commonplace. Now, I'm of the view, as I've been all along, that it's a political construct. They'll keep it together if they want to, but I think that Greece is likely to exit at some point, and I wouldn't be surprised if Portugal did. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Spain and Italy. But all this takes time, a lot of time, of course. So it's not all that relevant in terms of today's market action. But getting back to indicators and signals, it wasn't more than a few days ago that really the oil price was the main concern, both here at Fuller Money and certainly for all those people that were putting on long hedges and writing articles or sending articles talking about and in emails talking about the inevitability of Israel making a strike against Iran. I'm still of the view that that's a less than 50-50 chance here, certainly before the U.S. presidential election. But of course, none of us know. I mean, maybe Benjamin Netanyahu knows, but he's not going to tell us, is he? And he may not have even made up his mind. But what we see on the charts here today, and that is important, is I mentioned a break downwards out of a small top area by the Brent. And these are still above, I'm pretty sure these are still above their 200-day moving averages, which are still rising. But nevertheless, the downward break is a big improvement on expectations of a break to the upside, which were pretty widespread. And it provides the first technical evidence. And I think I've said over and over again that I felt that this owed a lot to speculation, and that there was a case for saying that the demand was not strong enough, nor the supply tight enough for crude oil to surge upwards. But obviously, the Iranian premium, which some people have estimated could be $20, is the Iranian fear premium, has been a major factor here. So the good news is that the prices that we see in here today are certainly less of a headwind for global economies than they were just last week. And as I say, that this is the first time I connect all my thoughts here. It's the first time that I've seen technical evidence that the oil price was quite possibly not going to fulfill those upside forecasts, at least in the short to medium term. Now, this has jumped around a lot, so hedgers and speculators get the upper hand once again, then we could expect to see a quick reversal and rally back up into those patterns. But at the moment, let's take it a day at a time here. That's good news, and the focal point of concern, as I say, has spread to Europe and especially to Spain. Now, 3 months on the upside on these stock markets, don't be surprised if we get plenty of ranging corrective activity here. I'm quite hopeful that we won't get a repeat of last year's cyclical bear market, but I also would not be surprised if markets spent a number of weeks and possibly a few months here just ranging around before they eventually resolve this with a resumption of the overall upward trend. There's a little bit of nervousness about the earnings season, and understandably so. Productivity increases have been remarkable for corporations, not least in the USA. And they may still be pretty good, but against background of high expectations, and we have seen evidence of slower growth around the globe, that is likely to be corporate profits may well disappoint somewhat. Now, this an observation that I think is relevant. Although our office was closed, and you may have been taking the time off as well, I'm talking now about the holiday that we had on Good Friday and Easter Monday just yesterday. But those employment figures that came out were not that bad, but they were regarded as a disappointment because they didn't show anywhere near as many jobs being created as people were, I'm talking about these US employment figures, as people were hoping for. And the market dropped quite sharply on Friday and also today. Now, 4 or 5 weeks ago, there's little doubt in my mind that a couple of months ago, little doubt in my mind that that employment figure would have led to a good rally. And when markets are strong, they'll rally on both good and bad news, or apparently bad news, or somewhat disappointing news. When markets are tired and due for a correction, the news has to be awfully good to keep them up, and anything that's regarded as, well, iffy or a little bit subpar can lead to a sharp correction. And that's the environment that we're in right now. And I think that this will become a good buying opportunity. We're not far off it in terms of some markets here, and some attractive yields are out there, whether you're looking at UK supermarkets such as Sainsbury's, who yield up around 5.6%. Good management. Tesco's just fallen back quite sharply. I don't like that quite as much, but it's yielding over 5% once again. Royal Dutch Shell, which I like a lot, it's got a very attractive yield. Must be right around that 5% level. And China, if any market bucks the trend in here, which is to see a reaction in consolidation, I think it may be China, because it has so underperformed previously, and people have had ample excuses to go to the anywhere else, everywhere and anywhere else, and particularly to the USA. So, as we get some profit taking here, I wouldn't be surprised if we also see somewhat firmer action in the China A shares. Long-dated government bond prices. They're pushing up into those top areas. And they've still got government buyers, government buying the JGBs, Japanese government buying the JGBs. We've still got the Fed's Operation Twist here supporting the long dateds. I don't think we will see prices move to new highs, but they've gone a little bit higher than I might have expected. I don't think the yields will go through to new lows for the US treasuries, but nevertheless, we could see quite lengthy topping process for the reasons I just mentioned, and that means quite a lengthy bottoming process for the yields. Expect more of the same. And I think that's pretty much it. Big news on the day, as far as I'm concerned, because we already knew stock markets were in a corrective phase. The big news really is the weaker trend of oil, and that's to be welcomed. All the best.